When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
To Will and Bibby on 95.7 The Game.
We were talking about hitting pitchers who hit, not hitting the pitcher, but pitchers who hit. A couple of fun things that just came through on the Comcast business text line.
Okay.
415 says Bartolo Colon was pure comedy. That's true. And then 408 just writes one word, Gausman. Do you remember when Kevin Gausman had to pinch hit in the late innings of a game and got a sack fly that actually only went barely to medium deep right field, and Brandon Crawford had to barely slide by a tag for a walk-off?
Count it.
In Gausman's last year as a Giant? Yeah, I remember those moments too. But again, they happened about three times a year.
Yeah.
And outside of that, I don't miss it. I don't miss it, and I don't know anybody who misses it.
Yeah, I don't miss it. I thought I would miss it just because I'm from the old school where nine in the field, nine at the plate, but now you get, you know, enough teams have enough bad hitters already to where I don't need an additional bad hitter in that lineup. The Giants are a pretty decent example where you get down to 7, 8, 9, and usually it's, okay, Wisely, maybe, Schmidt, probably not. And, you know, whoever else would be following down toward the order.
Well, that's what they need to switch up.
I just looked up that Gausman sack fly really quick. So September 17th, 2021, first of all, very important game. You win the division by one game, and that was the final couple weeks of the regular season. You needed it. You're right, Crawford, with the headlong slide. It was 5-5 in the 11th against the Braves. The right fielder who caught the ball and made the throw home, Jock Peterson.
Jock Peterson!
Yeah.
And he probably, if he was in better position and was lining it up nicely, he probably would have thrown Crawford out. But Jock, not that very good of an outfielder.
No, he's not. He's not. Bartolo Colon, 25 for 299 for his career.
Oh, nice.
One home run.
One.
2016 as a 43-year-old.
Oh, God.
He went deep.
What?
Yeah. His only homer. As a 43-year-old Colon.
And he did it at Petco, a pitcher's park, too.
Yeah, I try to stay away from 43-year-old Colon. I believe me. It sits in the cabinet for a while.
Up in 3 weeks.
I don't know about 43
years. You know, you're 49-year-old Colon. It's going to get a little once over. But anyway.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyhow.
So here's what, and we're going to go to the phones in just a sec. I think Buster needs to kind of un-Farhan this team. And it's not fair. I'm not saying these guys can't be on the team next year, but I mentioned it in the crossover. I think there are three guys who have what I would call kind of the Farhan regime residue, and that's not fair. It's not even bad, but it's just something that I think for fans, for whatever reason, they want to shake free of this kind of a player. It's not a bad player, but it used to be sort of presented to the fans as like, the thing that Farhan does. And again, that's not bad. It just can't be your calling card. If your calling card is, hey, look, what I found in the dollar bin, it's something that's worth $3. And I only had to pay a dollar for it. And that's your calling card. That's great. If you can find a $3 player in the dollar bin, that's wonderful. If you then tuck him next to all of the $100 players that are in the middle of your order. But then when you take the $3 player and you literally line up 1 through 4 or 1 through 5 in your batting order with your Yaz and with your Lamont Wade and with your Tyro Estrada, that's a problem. And so I'm not saying these guys can't be on the team, but they cannot be relied on such a level. And I know you said it to me earlier, you're right. They've already started to move the ball down the road on Estrada in those terms. But right field and first base, I'm telling you, I really, and Soto's not happening. So forget that. And I know I threw out like the Bo Bichette acquisition idea before. That works. You could also do a Ha-Sung Kim in free agency. You need a shortstop, a major league shortstop who can either hit or at least hit a little bit and then also be really reliable over at shortstop. But then obviously you're going to need some boppers. And you hope that Bryce Eldridge is everything that you think he can be. You have to create a runway for him while also making first base relevant. That's why, to me, Pete Alonso is in play. Alonso is in play because he can play first base until Eldridge is ready. And then if Eldridge is ready, now Alonso can be your DH. And then, you know, like, why not Teoscar Hernandez in right field?
Yeah.
Like, that's that. You're not getting Juan Soto. But how would you feel about the lineup? Chapman is at third. Bailey's behind the plate. I like Tyler Fitzgerald over in second.
Perfect.
Jung Hoo Lee's in center, and Ramos is in left. If you wanted to do a Teoscar Hernandez flanked by Yaz, if you wanted to do an Alonso flanked by Wade, waiting for Eldridge to come up, all good, all good. A Bichette or a Ha-Sung Kim at shortstop. I think you can. That's a lineup the Giants can play with. And Buster needs to make a big, very non-Farhan-feeling type move by January. By January. Before the Niners are done playing football, Buster needs a headline that feels non-Farhan-ish, which is either a big name or just, dude, use some of your minor league players in a trade. You know, I think Doval and Matos, like...
If
you want to talk Luciano, I don't know what the value is anymore. But like those three players,
that for me, if I'm another team, is a buy low value because he's still a young player and he's shown an ability to hit at times. And he's just lost right now. He's lost in the fog. Shout out the great racehorse at Golden Gate Fields. But Luciano does not have a position, and he's not been given, like you say, a clear runway to be a major league player. And I like the names you were throwing out there, and everything that I'm thinking about with Buster Posey now as baseball president of ops is he's looking for everyday players. And Ha-Sung Kim, forget this year where he got hurt, but last year he played 152. The year before, he played 150. That, for me, is the kind of player you're looking at. And he played second and a little bit of third and a lot of short. That, for me, is the kind of guy that Buster Posey and the Giants are looking for. They want to have, of their nine positions, you want to have, you know, forget the pitcher. I guess the DH would be one of the nine, but you want to have six guys who are the guy. Chapman is the guy, and Bailey is the guy, and Ramos is the guy.
Jung Hoo Lee is the guy.
I think that he's the guy. And Tyler Fitzgerald looks like he should be.
The second baseman.
The guy. So then if you want to add in a Casey Schmidt, who can be utility, and if you want to add in Yaz, who can be your fourth outfielder, Lamont Wade can be first baseman-ish. You get another catcher to back up Bailey. Now you've got a lineup, and you've got a real order that feels like it can go 1 through 9 and turn over.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would even add Schmidt into the group I was talking about.
Trade possibilities.
Yeah, I don't know what the value is. I don't know what people outside the organization are looking at with players down on the farm. Casey Schmidt, to me, I hate doing this. He's such a nice dude. He doesn't look like a major league player to me. He doesn't look like a major league player to me.
He looks like a major league player to me, but he doesn't look like a major league starter.
The question,
he's a major league player, but he's not. I don't think that he's an everyday starter right now.
I don't see it yet. I really don't. He can't hit, and the question about him was, could he just hit a little bit because he was supposed to be a superstar with the glove? And I would argue he doesn't look like a superstar with the glove either. He's passable. He can play with the glove. But he does not look like the generational glove that we were told that he was. And he swings at flipping everything. For those of you out there that watched Giants baseball this year and said, boy, the situational hitting. He's the worst situational hitter on the team. Like, he would go up there, and if he knew it was a big moment, he would just try to beat the pitcher to the spot. Meaning, I'm going to try to hit the ball in play as quickly as possible before he strikes me out. So he would swing at everything. Absolutely everything. And you can't play Major League Baseball that way. And Casey's now been around for a couple years. So to me, there needed to be more movement from last year to this year with Casey Schmidt than there was.
Well, the beauty of this offseason for Buster Posey is that you've got Yaz, Estrada, Wade, Tyler Rogers. They're all ARB players. And then you've got Luciano and Sable and Villar, VR, and Meckler. They're all pre-ARB. So Duvall is an ARB player. You have all these guys who are still under some team control, so you can trade them, and even though their value may not be as high as it was based on their ability, the team control aspect makes them coveted, I think, on the open market.
Let's go to Mac T in Union City real quick on this. Hey, Mac T, thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I'm excited about the Posey thing. He's a great leader. He's a great baseball mind. I think we're very lucky to be in this situation. But historically, athletes have not always been the best executives or coaches. I think Derek Jeter flamed out pretty quickly, and there's a lot of others. Again, I think he projects really well. My concern with him is just, you know, the time commitment. Like, is he going to really want to grind in the office or whatever? Although on second thought, you know, I think about it, if he's like the rest of us and he wants to get away from his family, it might actually be a pretty good fit. So, that's my thought.
Matt, thanks. Buster does not strike me as somebody who wants to get away from his family, but I also don't think you need to worry about him putting in the work and putting in the grind. A very smart person who will remain nameless said to me at the press conference just a couple hours ago, one of the beautiful things about Buster Posey taking this job is you can look at what his motivation must be and immediately eliminate all the things you don't want it to be. Buster's not doing this for money.
Nope.
He's not doing this for attention. He's doing it literally for one reason and one reason only. There's only one reason that makes sense.
He wants to fix it.
He cares about Giants baseball to his core. That's it. That's it. That can only be the reason. He cares about Giants baseball even more than you or I do. That's the only reason. And that, like, so
well, that's why he bought a part of the team, right?
Right.
So, I mean, he bought a piece of the team, and now he sees his team that he co-owns. He has a piece of it, and he thinks, you know what? I think I can fix what ails him. I'll do it.
No worries about him putting in the work.
Exactly.
Absolutely none. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. More of your calls coming up 1 hour away. Ryan Vogel, song on Willard and Dibbs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
To Dillard and Wibb on 95.7 The Game.
All right, 888-957-9570. It was as clear as day. It was as clear as day. And I'll give you, again, what I would call the pluses and the minuses. And I hesitate to even call them that because everything is so TBD. But walking into the room, the suite level at Oracle Park today, it was very clear, and I mean the second you walked in. Look, we've all done a lot of these things, and you can tell when people are excited and when people aren't. And the first thing you see is the number of people who showed up. A lot of people.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of people. A lot of people within the organization. You know what I mean? Pat Burrell just cruising around, like all smiles. And you see what the Giants are doing. Buster's the president. Bomel's the manager. Matt Williams the third. Burrell's the hitting coach. Like, you see what they're doing. And is that the right thing or is that a PR thing? I think in this moment it's a little of both.
Hopefully it's a lot of both.
Yeah, hopefully it's a lot of both. But people were excited about this. The media is sort of reflecting what you, the public, think about this and feel about this. And everyone prioritized being there, and everyone across the board was like, this is exciting. And people within the organization, let me just tell you, I described it earlier, and I think I might have been talking about something else, but the analogy plays. People within the organization looked like they had just taken a shower after a hike. Like, that's how they felt. It was just like, oh, God, thank goodness. Thank goodness. And so all positivity there, followed by some of Buster's opening remarks, which we will play for you in a moment. But I thought the summary of his remarks were, this is about players. We need better players. Our teams created memories with great players. And Barry Bonds created great memories. Will Clark, memories. McCovey, Mays, Marichal, memories. We need better players, and that's what we're going to try to go do. I think that has to hit people in a good spot, don't you think?
Yes, and I think even beyond we need better players, we need our players to play better. I think that is as much a part of it as we need better players. The players that we have need to play better, and I heard a lot today about fundamentals and pitching and defense, and you know, Buster even talked about changes to scouting and coaching staff changes, and we know that the GM, Pete Petilla, is going to be reassigned in some sort of a role. But I look at what the message was today, and it was, of course, we need better players, but we need to get back to playing Giants baseball. And if you think about when they won the World Series in 2010, 12, and 14, yeah, it was pitching and defense, and one of those years they actually were toward the top in home runs. One year they were dead last in home runs. Yep. So it isn't only about we need better hitters, we need more power, we need more boppers. And Buster said this today, and I think Bo Mel actually echoed it, saying you need to have an offense that can score in a number of different ways. And I was thinking a little bit about the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan. You have to be able to run it. You have to be able to throw it shallow, throw it intermediate, throw it deep. You have to have a special teams unit that can not give up big plays and can hold their own and make field goals and cover punts and, you know, cover kickoffs and return kickoffs. And you need to have all three phases on a football team be buttoned up. And I think about this Giants team this year, and they didn't hit a lot of home runs, and you struck out a bunch. You weren't very fast, and you didn't situationally hit very well. So if you want to like take that analogy to football, your ground game was terrible. Your deep throwing game, home runs, was mediocre. Your strikeouts, which are basically, to me, like penalties, like false starts and illegal shifts and the rest of it. When you strike out, nothing good can happen unless the catcher misses the third strike.
You were the Jacksonville Jaguars, but you found a way to go 8-9.
Right.
You're sort of like the Jets from last year. You had no quarterback, but you found a way to go 7-10 because sometimes things would bounce your way.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to look at things through that lens.
A little bit like the Denver Broncos, you know. Well, you had a pretty good defense,
listen,
pitching and defense.
This is why I find it believable that the turnaround could be quick. I don't know what moves they're going to make. I don't know which of the young guys are sustainable, which of them will really hit. Right? Is Hayden Bergtong suddenly just going to be a staple in the rotation all year? Maybe he will. I don't know. But when you look at a team that went 80-82, but you also go, they didn't do anything well. What did they do well? What did they do well?
Starting pitching in the second half was good.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a small sample.
Yeah.
I mean, they were Blake terrible. Snell. The running game, they were a net negative. They were the worst in baseball as far as stolen bases versus stolen bases allowed.
Of course.
Home runs, you were, I think, 15th or 16th. Not great. Strikeouts, you struck out, I think, the eighth most in baseball.
What if I just gave you broad strokes and the whole year? Don't spotlight the last 2 months. Were they a good hitting team?
Are we doing Grandy's grades?
Were they a good hitting team?
Hitting, they probably would get a C-.
Were they a good pitching team?
Pitching, probably a C.
Were they a good defensive team?
I would say C+ to B-.
Were they a good running team?
Oh, they were a D- or an F.
Were they a good power team?
They were a C.
And were they fun?
Fun? Like fun and interesting?
I said, were they fun?
Oh, D-.
Okay. So again, I'll ask you.
Their average grade was about a C-.
What did they do well?
Not much.
Thank you. Nothing.
Well, Steiny and Goo actually had an interesting conversation earlier about did they underachieve? And I really don't think that they underachieved at all.
I get where you're coming from. That's a hard question to answer because it's based on everybody's initial perspective on what they were going to be. I'd argue if you took what it sounded like on opening day, what the fans sounded like, right. I would argue that they did underachieve. But that was just our prediction,
right.
and our excitement in the fact that Chapman and Snell late in the game both joined the team.
I get it, but Snell didn't pitch much until mid-June.
Which we didn't know that then.
Right, but I'm just looking back at it, and I'm looking at the totality of their parts. And Kyle Harrison, we were expecting too much out of a 22-year-old making his first real season as a frontline starter. Jordan Hicks was a converted reliever. We expected too much out of him. The rest of the rotation, your various Keaton wins, and the rest of it, until Hayden Birdsong... It's like, okay, Birdsong kind of was a deodorant to a rotation that underachieved. Your bullpen was hit and miss the majority of the year. Your closer had to get sent to AAA.
I mean,
your pitching staff, if anything underachieved, it was your pitching staff.
Right.
I think that the offensive line, the lineup itself, was about what you would have expected. Chapman had a year that you would have expected. Conforto was what you thought he would be. Patrick Bailey was... phenomenal and then absolutely terrible, and he kind of leveled out to about where you'd expect.
Yeah,
Elliot Ramos was a bright spot. He was better than you thought he would be,
of course,
no doubt. Wade got hurt and was out forever. Tyro was a disappointment. Casey Schmidt was underwhelming. Tyler Fitzgerald was a big plus.
Yeah, that was a find.
Yaz was exactly what you thought Yaz would be. He hit like .212 with 20 home runs.
Solid baseball player.
Right. You know. In general, I think the offense turned out to be about what you would have thought it would be.
You didn't mention Jung-Hoo Lee. Obviously, he was exciting, and then he was hurt. Here's part of Buster today on the Giants' identity going forward.
I wouldn't say the brand's been tarnished. I mean, again, I think that's a lot of discussion we're going to be having over the next weeks and months is about our identity, you know, and again, I want to be clear, like our identity really boils down to the players on the field and the way that they play and the type of players they are and how they handle themselves, not only on the field, but in the community. So I think that's going to be a big part of discussion is like what really is important to us as an organization and what are we going to hang our hat on at the end of the day?
Okay, so... I spotlight that one for a specific reason. This would be the only thing that you could consider a downside for today. And I don't really think it's that. I think it was predictable, and I think it there was no way around this. But Buster Posey at certain times sounded very green. And he is.
Right.
He's never done this before. He's 37 years old. But when someone asks you, when you take a new job as the president of baseball operations... And the old guy has been removed, who so many people did not like. He's gone, and here comes the new guy. And that almost sounded like in an election year asking a presidential candidate, all right, what's your thought on, pick a topic, the border, abortion, whatever thing we're never going to talk about. Throw that out. What's your thought on that? Well... we're going to talk to people and we're going to find out what we think about that in the next 2 months. It's not an acceptable answer if it were a presidential situation.
Right. This is Buster Posey.
Right. But you did like in a perfect world. Hey, Buster, what's your identity? And his answer is, well, we're going to talk with the people we hire. And as a group, we're going to come up with our identity. It would sound so much better if he leaned in and looked at the camera and goes, this is who we're going to be.
Well, what does that even mean?
Well, you know, I think there's
We're going to be a team that goes out there and throws strikes, and when the other team hits it, we're going to catch it and throw to the proper base.
No, I don't think that. I think that there's a way to answer that question. Different organizations prioritize different things. For instance, you have cited a few times where he has used the phrase pitching and defense. That can be an identity.
Right.
It was for 3 World Series championships not that long ago. You can sort of give your philosophy on things. We want more everyday players. We want to be faster. We want to have pitching and defense as our calling cards or whatever. We want to hit 300 home runs in a year. You can say whatever you want, but what Buster said was, well, we're going to talk about it and figure it out.
Right.
Which is fine. as long as we all accept that he's green. He doesn't have all the answers yet that someone might normally have in this particular press conference.
Fair enough, but I ask you, what was their identity this year? Their identity was, we are mediocre. We're good at nothing. We're not fast. We don't have a lot of power. We don't have a lot of frontline starting pitching, and our bullpen is not very good.
I can tell you what
nobody like us.
I can tell you what they wanted it to be, and you're right, they weren't. And that's the worst thing. Like, Bo Mel to me represented, we're going to button up the baseball.
Yeah.
Gabe Kapler, what did he want?
Matchups.
I want human beings. In other words, like, we're going to have lots of coaches, and we're going to do it a certain way, and we're going to be about a philosophy, and that's the kind of person that we want. And that person can have three different faces. That person can be a left-hander, or it can be a right-hander, or it can be a switch hitter, or it can be a moment, or who pitches the eighth, who pitches the eighth and a half, and like overly doing all of that. Bo Mel wanted to come in and go, you know what? We need Major League Baseball players. We need people who are going to be professionals. You run hard to first. You pick up the ball when it's hit to you. You know what the hell you're doing out there. And you go play baseball. Go be a baseball player. And then they gave us Marco Luciano at short. And the guy's literally like, I mean, you might as well have had someone face backward toward home plate when the hitters are hitting the ball. So that was what they wanted their identity to be, but it wasn't.
Right. And that's why Farhan Zaidi, I think, largely lost his job, because they had no identity. And I'm just looking at a few quick metrics from the season. They committed 87 errors, which was one more than the league average. So they were an average defense as it pertains to just errors.
They were average at almost everything.
Their ERA, 4.10. League average, 4.07. So they were a tick below average. OPS, on base plus slugging. Their OPS was 701. The league average was 711. So every metric, they were either a tiny bit above or a tiny bit below. And you look at your record and you were 80-82. And in terms of interest level and sizzle, you were probably the 21st most interesting team in baseball. You didn't have a lot of name players. You didn't have a lot of excitement. Elliot Ramos was an all-star based on 7 weeks. Logan Webb is always your all-star. He was good and solid all year, but beyond that, you had a meteoric closer who couldn't keep the job. Your best player is probably your third baseman, who he strikes out a lot. He's really good on defense.
Oh, like first half of the year, people were largely more often than not frustrated with Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
But he settled in. He settled in and had the year, I think, when you look at his numbers and then add in his leadership abilities, his professionalism, and his durability. No doubt. He had the year that you wanted him to have.
And he had the year that you're expecting him to have over the next four or five. But beyond that, your catcher was good defensively, and then he wasn't, and then he couldn't hit, and on, your exciting center fielder got hurt after a month and change, and then the rest of it was just kind of piecemealed mediocrity. So what's Buster supposed to say about his identity? He can say, you know, we want to be pitching in defense, or we want to hit a lot of home runs, or we want to this, or we want to that, but you look at your roster right now, and you don't have an identity. And that maybe is what he has to do between now and March, is to figure out how to make this roster into one that has an identity.
Well, and again, I think that he answered it indirectly throughout the day. Buster Posey wants better players. And I know that you go, well, that's not an identity. Who doesn't want that? I mean that he wants players that people might talk about after the game. You know what I mean? And you hope Bryce Eldridge is one of those guys. They're probably going to need to sign a few guys. But, yeah, it's got to come. It's got to come up through the farm. And so right now, if you want to circle one person that can be the quote-unquote identity of the Giants over the next 5 to 7 years, it's right now, it's just a hope. There's nothing else that you can sink your teeth into than that. You hope it's Bryce Eldridge. You hope.
And if you're looking at Buster Posey and what happened with their run and how they came to prominence, it was more than Buster. It was Pablo. and it was Madison Bumgarner, and it was Matt Cain, and it was Tim Lincecum, and it was other homegrown players that turned into the core of guys. And so maybe you already have some of them on the roster now. Patrick Bailey looks like he should be an everyday catcher. And Tyler Fitzgerald is a guy who, if he's not your second baseman, he could be at least your super utility guy and play short and play second and play center field. Elliot Ramos is an all-star. You'd expect him to be a mainstay. And you've got Hayden Birdsong and Logan Webb and Kyle Harrison. So that right there is seven guys who should be a core part of your team for the next 2 to 3 or 4 years. So can you add to that from the farm with the likes of Bryce Eldridge? Can you add to that from the outside and really have a core of guys that fans can start to latch on to?
Let's go to Chris in San Jose next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
And gone.
Gone. Yeah.
He hung up on himself.
Yeah.
That's how that went.
I know. That's what that sound is.
Boom. Boom. Totally.
It's, call back, Chris. Yeah. You hit a button with your face. 888-957-9570. Let's hear a little bit more from Buster. This is what he envisions on the Giants moving forward.
It really, hopefully, what it's going to be is we all love, I know Bob loves good, crisp, clean baseball and guys that are going to be always prepared. I think what I can draw on from a player is knowing that if I went into a game and I know I had prepared to the best of my ability, no matter the outcome or result of that game, I could be satisfied with that. And that's, you know, for me, I'm hopeful that our guys are going to get there and that's going to be something that is really important to them as well.
He was asked how involved he'll be day to day with every little decision that comes for a team.
I think that remains to be seen. I mentioned empowering. We're gonna bring in a GM, and I think once that comes in, some of the delegation will take shape a little bit more. I want to be as useful as I can to be with all the people that I'm working with, but also having in mind and understanding that it's somewhat of a delicate balancing act, to where I don't want to be the type of leader that is constantly feeling like I'm looking over somebody's shoulder as well. So I think a lot of that is going to be handled over these next weeks, month, as we start to have more conversations and get synced up more.
So, see, that's what I heard repeatedly today that caught my attention.
That's big.
Well, it is, but do you notice the way he starts? How involved will you be day to day? His first sentence out of his mouth was, "That remains to be seen." So the repetitive action of Buster today, and again, I'll state this very clearly. This was exciting. This was awesome. I am all in. I didn't meet anybody who's not all in. Everybody is all in. Just keep in mind that he's green. Because at a press conference, when you're introducing something brand new, it's kind of like going to a job interview. If you go to a job interview and the boss just looks at you and goes, "Why should I hire you?" Well, you're not going to be like, "Well, that remains to be seen." Like, you're going to say, "Here's what I'm thinking." And Buster did very little of that today. There was very little of, "This is our identity. This is what I want to do. I want a shortstop. I'm going to hit the trade market. I'm going to this, I'm going to that." He did a lot of, "Well, we're going to hire other people and then we're going to figure it out. What's your identity? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Well, how do you see the future? Well, remains to be seen." There was a lot of that. And so I was just reminded of the fact that Buster is 37 years old and he's never done this before.
And I much rather would have him say that than say things that he either doesn't believe or can't back up. He's in day two on the job.
Right.
So he's being asked questions about what are you going to do? And he's 37 with no experience. And so he could say, "Well, we're going to win the World Series within 3 years, and we're going to remake this farm system, and we're going to bring in the highest paid free agents that money can possibly buy." And he could sell whoop tickets, and he could go all the way over his skis all he wants, and then in 3 months, people will circle back and go, "Well, Buster, you didn't do that, and you didn't do this, and you were wrong about that." The one thing that I heard him say in that answer just kind of reminded me of what drove us crazy about Farhan, and it's the constant roster shuffle. And he said something to the effect in that quote of, you know, I'm going to be, not that he's going to be hands-off, but he's going to, you know, kind of let guys play. He's going to let guys work through it.
Well, I think he's also talking about the people he hires. He's like, I don't want to be over their shoulder too much.
Right, and I also think that he's going to allow guys to not be yo-yoing back and forth. And
you'd hope.
I just picked a guy, and I looked at Blake Sable, and he got recalled May 4th. He got optioned May 21st. He got recalled July 30th. He got optioned August 1st. He got recalled September 1st. And then he got optioned September 3rd. And then he got recalled today, which is ostensibly
that's exciting.
Meaningless. It just means that he's going to be on the 40-man for the offseason. But I'm seeing 10 different transactions for a Rule 5 guy who, I know he's bottom of the roster, but I could pick any player on the roster outside of the big boys, like Schmidt. How many times did he go up and down? And Luciano and Luis Matos and all the rest of it. And I was hearing from Buster, maybe not exactly what he said, but the feeling I got was they're going to pick guys, they're going to have them play, and they're going to let them play and not be so quick to just send a guy down.
Well, you have to. Yeah, you have to. Look, no matter if it's the young guy that's actually getting yo-yoed or if it's the veteran who has the locker next door who's watching it all happen, it just makes everybody uncomfortable. Makes everybody uncomfortable. And it's why Evan Longoria a few weeks ago liked a post that said Farhan Zaidi's job is in trouble. Like, just take that. Take that and realize that's how it felt to the players. Doesn't mean they get to run the show, but that's how it felt. And I don't think that that leads to good play. I'm a believer in that. You know, some of that stuff in terms of like their morale, if you will. That's a word that I keep coming back to. All right. Glad you're with us. We'll keep going with your calls next. Ryan Vogelsong is in a half hour. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Willard and Dibs.
Damn it, Farhan.
I'm a Giants fan.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The one question I wanted to ask and didn't get a chance to was, how does he feel in terms of how the ballpark affects free agent pursuits on offense, especially as somebody who used to hit the ball there? I wonder, you know, because Dave Fleming suggested to us, you know, I don't know, maybe he's going to move the fences in.
Yeah.
I don't know. Buster did not appear today to me to be someone who's ready to move the fences in. He didn't sound ready to kind of do anything other than hire a staff and then figure out what they want to do. He's going to be somebody who wants more voices in the room. And I actually do think that while that might not satisfy our machismo, I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, Buster, surround himself with some good people, get multiple opinions in the room, and then start functioning. And he said he wants to hire a GM very quickly, and he should.
Right. So as far as like the overarching questions about what are you going to do and what's your philosophy and what's your plans and all the rest of it, those questions should have been asked, and they were. But for me, I'm not looking for any real answers because the guy's been on the job for a day and a half, and I don't even think that he knows. I don't think that he knows. Not that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to win, and he wants to fix this and build an organization and all the rest of it, but there's all the little things you have to do first, like hire a staff, hire a GM, figure out who the GM wants as his assistant GM, figure out what you want to do with the scouting staff, the analytical staff, the coaching staff. And then when you get through all that, you can start to roll up your sleeves and think about free agents and the on-field product. I think everything has an order of operations.
Here's what he does know. I agree with everything you just said, but here's what he does know. And this is what I think the most important thing was today about this press conference. What Buster Posey knows is that what he needs to create, and there are a number of ways to do it, trades, free agency, farm system, you got to be a full-service baseball team.
No compromises.
No compromises. That's true.
Yep.
The Giants need to stop compromising. Stop calling the Seattle Mariners on a Wednesday to see if you can get their eighth-string catcher.
Yeah. So, and they can. And they have.
Do you want to know what I notice about today's press conference? What Buster needs to go create, and he knows this, is more of him. And I know that you're...
Because they're just lying around everywhere.
I know your initial reaction is, oh, great. Yeah, go find more like Hall of Famers who are the face of a franchise. That's not what I mean. Here's what I mean. I saw Buster when he was all the way down the hall. And I don't know this to be true, but I'm going to tell myself that there's a reason that my head just popped up and noticed him, even though he was still 60 yards away. Why did I notice him?
He's him.
Because he has it.
He's him.
He has a presence. He has a presence when he walks into a room. He is a larger-than-life figure. And when he sat down and said, we're in the business of making memories, and we're in the business of having families get together and see a player do something that is memorable, maybe forever, that means to me creating larger-than-life figures. And they don't all have to be Busters. We talked to one of them yesterday. We talked to one of them 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Hour and a half. Matt Cain was on the show. Yesterday, Hunter Pence was on the show. These are not Buster Posey's and Barry Bonds. They're Matt Cain's and they're Hunter Pence's. And right away, you can think of something they did in a Giants uniform and you're like, I'll never forget that moment.
Exactly.
I'll never forget the perfect game. I'll never forget when Hunter Pence hit the ball twice and it went over the shortstop's head and the Giants won a playoff game. Larger than life figures. What Giant, what current Giant walks into the room and has that presence? Where you're like, ooh. Look at that guy. He sits down and everybody, you don't have to tell everybody, hey, quiet, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit of an unfair bar, but what I'm hearing you say is a guy who you can look at and rely on. And right now I think about Matt Chapman and Logan Webb as number one and number two of guys that you can look at in that same way. And I just punched up the 2014 roster just so I can kind of make my point. And you had a catcher play 147 games, the aforementioned Buster Posey.
Buster Posey.
Your shortstop played 153.
That would be Brandon.
Your third baseman played 157 games, the roly-poly panda.
Pablo.
Your left fielder played 131 games, Mike Morse.
Mm-hmm.
And your right fielder played every game.
Hunter Pence.
Came to the park on a scooter.
Mm-hmm.
So five of your eight, because pitchers still hit there, five of your eight were, yeah, every day. Brandon Belt at first, I would imagine he got hurt, because he always does. Joe Panik was your second baseman. Angel Pagan played 96 games. Yeah. On the pitching staff, you had three guys start every start, Bum, Hudson, and Vogie, and Lincecum started 26. He appeared in 33. It's just because his career was starting to get a little bit leaky.
Right.
But then you had Matt Cain and Jake Peavy.
But that's why I say it's not that high of a bar. I'm not talking about people that necessarily, oh, you can rely on every day. And I'm not even talking about stats or anything like that. I'm talking about that if you want to bring your 7-year-old kid to the ballpark, who's going to make their eyes get big? And I can speak to this. I have a 10-year-old at home who loves baseball. I don't even know who his favorite player is. I do know that he'll stop what he's doing when Shohei comes to the plate.
Of course.
Of course, and others. He actually is almost like he's got a brain that I don't even know how it works. He can tell me what every player on every team in every city has done last night. I might be giving him too much screen time. I'm not sure. But the bottom line is, that's who you're going to get. That's who Buster was talking about today. Who can walk into the room and make that kid go, oh my God. And how many names on that roster fit the bill? You don't have to be a future Hall of Famer.
The ones I just mentioned?
You could be Hunter. You could be Pablo.
Brandons.
You could be the Brandons. You could be Lincecum late in his career. You could be Mad Bum.
Vogie.
Yeah. Anyway, you'll be on in 20 minutes.
He became one of them.
Yes, he did. But you get, and in 2012, but you get what I'm saying. Like a figure, somebody who makes you just kind of stop or have a presence or think about them. These are the things that don't happen when you send him to AAA every exactly. 5 days.
Exactly. And that's why
we're talking about.
Totally. And I think that part of that goes into what I've been saying all along, which is he and Bob Melvin want what the 2014 had from a position player standpoint, which was five, if not six of your nine who are, you're playing. You're playing first. Hunter, you're playing right. You're playing right 162 times, by the way, and your catcher played more than Patrick Bailey played. Patrick Bailey, I know, got hurt this year, but give me five guys. Give me five of the nine who are going to play 140 times of the 162. And even if you don't necessarily have a monster year, I would take that. If you go 80-82 next year, but you give me five guys who play every day, I'm more connected to that team than I am this team, which is Wisely?
Yeah.
I'd
argue the number might even need to be a little higher. I get what you're saying.
Five of the nine?
Yeah, and look, people are going to get hurt and stuff like that. Like, that was, for instance, the plan with Jung-Hoo Lee, and then he got hurt.
Right.
But if you, like, right now, if you offered me, like, Jung-Hoo Lee fits that bill, Ramos fits that bill, Bailey fits the bill, Chapman fits the bill. I'm hoping that Tyler Fitzgerald at second fits the bill. I'm hoping they find someone who fits that bill at shortstop, Bo Bichette, Ha-Sung Kim. I certainly, like, probably not Bryce Eldridge. He won't be, my guess is he won't come up until a month or two into the season. But someone like that can be over there. And I don't know what they're going to do with right field. Maybe that is the spot where you kind of turn and burn a little bit and platoon and move guys in and out. I don't know. But five is a minimum. Maybe more. Probably more, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, if you have more than five, then you're hoping that you're a really good team and you have really good players in those spots. I look at this year and you had Chapman play 154, Yaz 140, but that's games played. Feels like some of those are including pinch hitting performances.
Well, and he moved between center and right also at times.
Seventh inning inserts. Conforto played 130. Bailey played 121, which is a good number as a catcher.
Sure.
You take that every year. And Ramos played 121. Once he got up here, he played every day.
Every day.
And then Lamont Wade Jr. played 117. Again, these are just games played, not starts technically. But, you know, I'm looking at the Hunter Pence year, and he had 700 plate appearances.
Jeez.
708. And Buster had 605. And Pablo had 638. These are full, meaty years. And that's really, I think, what Buster and Bob are talking about, where it's not going to be the Kapler, Farhan, you know, hey, Jock, you hit a home run, and it's the fourth inning, and they brought in a lefty, so now you're getting pinch hit for. That stuff analytically might be correct, but like you're saying with your 10-year-old son, if you told him right now, hey, son, here's $100, any jersey, you pick it. You pick your jersey. Oh, Dad, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure, Papa.
I don't know.
I mean, can I platoon my jerseys?
He doesn't sound like that, but yeah,
it's part of the fun.
He might ask for ice cream instead.
I'm sure he has voice already. Yeah. Dad,
he kind of does.
We, as your offspring, would like a Doval.
I'd like a jersey and an ice cream.
Totally.
Let's go to
the phones?
Yeah. Chris in San Jose, who hung up on himself, is back. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Mark. You know what? I should start to call Marky Mark.
Chris.
I mean, I'm not calling about the Niners today.
Okay.
Listen, I'm going to try to be more even keel like ball players should be, okay? I'm not going to come in hot like I was talking about the Niners last week.
You can come in hot. But I don't know what you're going to say yet, though.
I don't even know what I'm going to say, Mark. No. I got about eight different topics I want to talk about.
Well, pick two.
And I can only get to two or three before you hang up on me for calling you out on something.
That is accurate.
Maybe one to two.
Actually, if you call me out, you tend to stay longer. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
You've got a thick skin.
I was going to say, I know Dippers is setting the over at 1.5. But, you know, Mark, I actually agree with you today. I think earlier at some point you talked about essentially, the grass isn't always greener. You never know what you're going to get on the other side. And, you know, Zaidi, he has his flaws, or I should say had his flaws. But at the end of the day, you're talking about a guy who had a winning record and had like the sixth or seventh best record in the National League over the last 5 or 6 years. So, a lot of mediocre years. He had that one outlier of a year, but you know, I just be cautious. You never know what's going to happen on the other side. On the other hand, I am optimistic. It's going to be funny when about 2, 3, 4 years from now, the Giants are back in contention, hopefully, and half the roster or better is Farhan Zaidi drafted players. I mean, ideally, we're all hoping Bryce Eldridge is the new coming of Barry Bonds, and he's, you know, the guy we can buy his jersey, he's the guy we want to root for, and, you know, perennial all-star, future Hall of Famer, so on and so forth, and we're going to be like, oh, that was a Farhan guy? Oh, okay. Well, we'll give him his credit, I guess, like 5 years later. So I just kind of wanted to bring that to the table. You never know what's going to happen. Buster's 37. He's a great ball player. You know, he's an old Southern boy from Georgia, but he has no experience in this whatsoever. We were all faithful, and we believed in Zaidi because we thought he was a part of building the A's, building the Dodgers, and, oh, he can do the same thing and find guys on the fringes with Giants, which he did, but we were never able to find that star. So hopefully Posey is able to, you know, swing the tide a little bit in some negotiations, maybe bring in a guy or two. I think Chapman's a good start. But at the end of the day, I do think Zaidi got a bad rap. It was overplayed. He's far more than mediocre. Sure, he might be the 10th best GM in baseball. He wasn't the 30th best GM in baseball like we were acting. So we'll give Buster a chance. He's young. I'm 50-50 on it, but let's ride, baby.
Okay, we're Chris. Let us give you something to chew on. Thank you for the call. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate. Auto loan apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.